A reading from a portion of the Phaedrus by Plato. In this portion, Socrates is speaking to his pupil. It's part of an argument of whether sex is better with or without love. And they're walking by the river. And you might want to know that an idea keeps repeating itself in literature, that when we come into this world as children, we bring the vision of heaven with us. And as we grow up, that memory recedes. The ancient Greeks thought that the last memory we retain of heaven is the memory of the beauty of the gods. Oh, also, they believed that heavenly creatures have wings. Once the soul was perfect and had wings and could soar into heaven, where only creatures with wings can be. But the soul lost its wings and fell to earth, and there it took an earthly body. And now, while it lives in this body, no outward sign of wings can be seen. Yet the roots of the wings are still there, and the nature of wings is to raise the earthbound body and soar with it into heaven. When we see a beautiful woman or a man, the soul remembers the beauty it used to know in heaven. And when the soul remembers that beauty, can we not imagine how its wings will try to start to grow again, and the wings begin to sprout? And that makes the soul want to fly, but it cannot yet. It is still too weak, so that man keeps staring up into the sky like a young bird. He has lost all interest in the world around him. So people say he is mad. He is not mad. He is a lover. When we see a beautiful face and body, we say it is godlike. Now there are some men who see such a face and body and feel no reverence for it, nothing but lust, which they rush to gratify like animals. But the sort of man I am trying to describe, the lover, he feels a shudder pass over him when he first sees the person that he will love. It is a kind of awe, the awe his soul felt when it knew heavenly beauty. He feels reverence as if he were in the presence of God. If he were not afraid of being thought raving mad, he would offer sacrifice to the beloved as to a holy image. Now, let us imagine the lover as he gazes at the person he's beginning to love. First, he feels the shuddering. Then it turns into a strange fever and a sweat. And why is that? It must be the warmth of this beauty that is passing into him through his eyes, that the warmth makes him sweat. Won't that naturally moisten the sprouts of the wings? Let us say that the wings have roots, like the roots of a plant, and that these roots are shut up inside an outer case which has got hard because it has been closed up for so long. Well, now this outer case melts and bursts open, and the roots are moistened, begin to sprout, and the soul starts to get back the strength it used to have when it was fully winged. You know how a baby's gums itch and ache when its teeth are cutting? Must not the soul feel the same itching and aching when its wings are growing? As long as the lover can keep his eyes on the person he loves, he feels the warmth of beauty flooding through him, and he is happy because that eases his pain. But in the natural course of life, it must happen that the lover cannot keep the beloved always in his sight. Won't his soul then grow dry for lack of moisture? Won't the openings of the root cases dry up too and contract so that the wings cannot continue to grow? And now imagine those sprouts of wings, each one closed in and trying to burst out, and it throbs and it stabs at the outlets. What agony! Oh, how that hurts! And yet in the midst of this suffering, the soul remembers the beauty of the beloved and is glad. And that is the state of being in love, gladness and pain together. It is so strange that even the lover himself is puzzled by it. He cannot sleep at night. He cannot stay still in the daytime. He runs this way and that way to any place where he hopes he can catch a glimpse of the beloved. And when he does see the beloved again, his soul is flooded with beauty and the wings once more are free to grow. And this relief from pain seems sweeter to him than any other pleasure. And that is why the lover can never part from the beloved. His mother, brother, friends, they are all forgotten. His property is neglected. What does he care? As for the social conventions and appearances he used to bother so much about, now he despises them. He is ready to lie down like a slave anywhere they let him, so long as he can be near his beloved. Because, you see, this person he loves is both the divinity he worships and also a kind of doctor, the only one who can cure him of his pain.